Exercise 39, Topic 1. Listen to part of a lecture. Then listen for a question about it. After you hear the question, you have 20 seconds to prepare and 60 seconds to record your answer.
Now listen to part of a lecture in a botany class. The professor is discussing flowering plants.
Flowering plants have traditionally been divided into two major classes, dicots and monocots. The actual basis for the distinction is the number of cotyledons. Remember, cotyledons are the seed leaves that the embryo produces. In monocots, there is a single seed leaf, and in dicots, there are two seed leaves. Although there are a number of other characteristics that distinguish them, two are particularly useful. The number of flower parts and the leaf vein patterns are different in the two classes. The petals of the flowers, or other flower parts, are divisible by 3 in monocots, whereas they are divisible by 4 or 5 in dicots. And a parallel leaf structure is usual in monocots, but dicots tend to have numerous auxiliary veins that connect the major veining. That seems relatively straightforward then, right? Wrong. Botanists are not always in agreement regarding several families of flowering plants because they have a combination of characteristics that don't fit neatly into the classifications. For example, water lilies have leaf veining like dicots, but it appears that there is only a single seed leaf, as would be expected in a monocot. So how can this happen? Well, we believe that the two groups may actually have a shared ancestor, a basic group, probably more similar to the dicots, from which the monocots have evolved. This means that no one characteristic of a flowering plant, the number of flower parts, leaf veining, or even the number of seed leaves, is going to be sufficient to identify it as either a monocot or a dicot.
Referring to the main points and examples from the lecture, describe the two general groups of flowering plants. Then explain the problem for classification that the professor presents.
Please prepare your answer after the beep. Please begin speaking after the beep. Example speaking answer.
Dicots and monocots are the two major classes of flowering plants. Basically, a monocot has one seed leaf and a dicot has two. In monocots, the number of petals can be divided evenly by 3, but in dicots, the number can be divided evenly by 4 or 5. Also, monocots have parallel veins in their leaves, but dicots have, numerous veins with connecting patterns. Now, the problem in classification is that sometimes the characteristics overlap. The professor's example is the water lily, which has characteristics from both the monocot and the dicot. The professor explains that the two classifications may have descended from a common ancestor, and that makes classification of a plant on the basis of any one characteristic that one characteristic is insufficient to identify it as either a monocot or a dicot.
Exercise 39, Topic 2. Listen to part of a lecture, then listen for a question about it. After you hear the question, you have 20 seconds to prepare and 60 seconds to record your answer.
Now listen to part of a lecture in an engineering class. The professor is discussing bridge construction.
Okay, let's talk about bridge construction, specifically arch bridges and suspension bridges. Arch bridges have been a standard for bridge construction since ancient times because they are very stable structures. In an arch, the force of the load is carried outward from the top to the ends of the arch, where abutments prevent the ends from pulling apart. So you see, an arch bridge can be designed so that no part of it has to withstand tension. Another advantage of arch bridges is the fact that they can be constructed from such a wide variety of materials, including stone, brick, timber, cast iron, steel, or reinforced concrete. It's also adaptable. The deck can be propped above the arch or hung below the arch. One major disadvantage of the arch bridge, though, the bridge is completely unstable until the two spans meet in the middle. So that can make an arch bridge a little tricky to build. Now, a suspension bridge consists of a deck suspended from cables. The two largest cables, or main cables, are hung from towers with the cable ends buried in huge concrete blocks or rock called anchorages. The cables support the weight of the bridge and transfer the load to the anchorages and the towers. Suspension bridges are considered aesthetically beautiful. And because they are relatively light and strong, they can be used for the longest spans. The cables, usually of high tensile wire, can support an immense weight, but the design does have the disadvantage of potential bending in the roadway. And because suspension bridges are light and flexible, wind is always a serious concern.
Referring to the main points and examples from the lecture, describe the two types of bridge construction presented by the professor. Then explain the specific advantages and disadvantages of each type.
Please prepare your answer after the beep. Please begin speaking after the beep. Example speaking answer.
The professor describes two types of bridges, the arch bridge and the suspension bridge. Arch bridges are very stable because the weight is distributed from the top to the ends of the arch where abutments keep the ends from separating. In addition to stability, an advantage of arch bridges is that they can be constructed from many different materials, like wood, steel, stone, brick, or concrete. The problem is that an arch is difficult to build because it's unstable until the middle span is complete. Now, suspension bridges, they have a deck suspended from cables that are hung from towers. So the cables support the weight and distribute the load to anchorages of concrete or rock and to the towers as well. Suspension bridges are beautiful, and they're light and strong, which makes them appropriate choices for the longest spans. The problem is that the deck of a suspension bridge may bend, and they're not appropriate for very windy areas.